Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, JoePerish.com, John 424 Radio. We had a great day today. We had to travel. We did some witnessing. Want to get back to Matthew verse-by-verse study. We're in Matthew 23, starting out at verse 1. We're going to go through verse 12 today. You can go to JoePerish.com, look on the verse-by-verse tab. You can catch up to where we are today at Matthew 23. Let's get right to it. It's a beautiful night here. Hope you're having a great day. Let's get into the Word of God. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." All right, Jesus is telling us that the leaders that are over the people of Israel, they have legitimate authority. All right, we know he has issues with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, but here he's saying that they actually have legitimate authority. Why? Because it's Torah law. They're sitting in the seat of Moses. You can read about that in Exodus 18:13. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening." So the leaders were the judges over the nation of Israel. These Pharisees have that seat. And so it's a legitimate position. So he's not saying they have no biblical standing or position. What Jesus is about to show us is they hold it in great sin, hypocrisy, and against the whole spirit of God's word. Let's keep going. Verse 3. "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Okay, so the Bible calls us to always obey men that have authority over us, whether it's governors, presidents, police officers, bosses, elders in a religious body. Okay, the Bible always calls us to obey them until it causes us to disobey God. Acts 5:29 is a great example of that. Peter is disobeying the rulers, the religious leaders, so that he can continue to preach Christ crucified. And they told him not to do that. So we break man's laws only when it breaks God's law. And so Jesus is telling them, go ahead and do everything they tell you to do that's biblical to do so under Torah law. But don't do it like they do it. We're going to learn what their sin is as we go on there. He's about to expose the Pharisees, leaders, he's about to expose their sin. Verse 4, "They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay on them men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." All right, so a clear example of this is if you go read Mark 7, verses 6, 8, 9, 10. And we see that at that time they were adding things, and Jesus called them out for the washing of pots and cups. So they were having people wash things. God never ordered such rules. They were putting upon people extra man-made ways. We see that all the time in man-made religion. They're always adding hats and suspenders and certain colors and certain clothing that's not mandated in God's word. All types of man-made standards. And so Jesus is talking about these leaders put this extra ways on people, but they themselves will cut corners and not even keep what they're supposed to be keeping. And this would be called a hypocrite. Yeah, Luke 12:1 tells us what the leaven of the Pharisees was. It was the sin. It was their hypocrisy. They tell you to do something that they won't do themselves. And this is a awesome highlight of those leaders versus Jesus. Those leaders were hypocrites and didn't do, okay, what they were supposed to do. But look at Jesus. He is the perfect example for us in every way, always doing even what he told us to do. He is the perfect example for us. 1 Corinthians 11:1. "But be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ," Paul says. We're to imitate Christ and Paul because Jesus was our ultimate example. He wasn't like the Pharisees. He wasn't a hypocrite. He wasn't putting things on us that he did not do himself. He walked as a man, knew temptation, overcame all that we had to do to be our perfect example. So the sin of these Pharisees is not that they sit in the seat of Moses, not that they have Torah authority, not that they're even keeping Torah law. No, their sin is they keep it hypocritically and they add unbiblical things. In Mark 7, Jesus said, "You worship God in vain for your keeping of man-made traditions." I teach that to people all the time. You're worshiping God in vain because you're added on all these false man-made traditions. Let us never, ever forget that. That's why we walk in spirit and in truth. Verse 5, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Okay, so here we see the real issue. It's the heart of these false men. That's the real issue at hand. You know, in Matthew 22, we're called to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and in Mark it says strength. But what are these men seeking? They're seeking the approval of men, right? This is a major sin. It's even idolatry, right? When we seek the approval of men over God, this is idolatry. Now, you may know this, you may not. He talked about phylacteries. These were scriptures that they hung between their eyes, and tassels, the border of their garment, they were commanded to wear them back in Torah law. Exodus 13:9 says this, "And it shall be a sign for you unto it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." So God was saying, hey, they had no Holy Spirit, so he wanted them to remember his word and his law. And so they were hanging the word of God between their eyes. That's a phylactery. The Pharisees were making it much bigger to stand out, more so than what God called them to do. And Numbers 15:38, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes," some people call them tassels, "on the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of their borders a ribbon of blue." So the reason God had them put tassels or fringes on was, again, so they would remember the commandments of God. They had no Holy Spirit. These people were rather dead in their inner man. And so God wanted them to remember his word. And so that was the idea of the phylacteries. That was the idea of the tassels. And these Pharisees were cold in their heart and not getting the understanding that God wanted everyone to have. They were making them larger so that they would stand out, giving them preeminence, favor, and so they would stand out in pride amongst all the people. That's very sinful. God sees that. We are to obey God because we love him, and it's our duty, according to Ecclesiastes 12:13. This is the duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments, Solomon said. We don't obey God's law so we can be special and stand out amongst other people in pride. No. We obey because we love God and want to keep his word. The Pharisees had it wrong. They were people pleasers, to put it short. You don't want to be a people pleaser. You want to be a God pleaser. And then because you're a God pleaser, you will end up serving people. And the people that love God, you'll please. The people that don't love God, they'll be your enemy. It is that simple. Verse 6. "And they love the uppermost rooms and feasts and chief seats in the synagogues," excuse me, "and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." All right, so Jesus has given us more examples of their false, prideful, man-pleasing, man-attention-getting ways. This is not unlike the modern pastors today, especially the famous ones or the successful ones. They love attention. They love parking places. They love to be lifted up. They love books and conferences and pictures of themselves, naming Bibles after themselves, when they're supposed to be lowly servants. That's what a minister is supposed to be, is a servant. 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So we're supposed to be servants to God, servants to each other as brothers and sisters, servants to the world, preaching the gospel to them. These Pharisees were trying to lift themselves up and have preeminence and be like the head honchos. Jesus was our example. He washed feet. He submitted himself. He was a servant. That's who we're supposed to be like. Not these guys are rabbis. They like to be called rabbi, teacher, to be lifted up. Verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. So Jesus tells them to reject the title like rabbi. Why? It's elevating man. It's puffing him up. It's giving him pride. It's lifting him up when we're to be lifting up God, right? John the Baptist said in John 3:30, I must decrease so Christ can increase. It's a great model and a great example. The greatest man that ever lived, by the way, John the Baptist per Jesus Christ. So the focus here is that God isn't partial. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. The Pharisees were operating on partiality. Yeah, that's not how we're supposed to operate. God doesn't operate that way. We're not to operate that way. So these men had hypocrisy as their leaven, pride, idolatry, lifting themselves up. They had wrong hearts. And that's being exposed as we go. Verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Okay, this famous verse has given a lot of people a lot of trouble. I really think Jesus' context here is aiming for religious leaders and not families. Why do I say that? Well, the only reason I would say that is if we go to the other scriptures in the Bible, we see the word father being used in a family setting, like Luke 15:12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So we see, we use the Bible to interpret the Bible, right? So this thing about not calling anyone father, we see the Bible using the term father in families. That seems appropriate and okay. Jesus is saying, don't be calling men rabbi and lifting up men. Maybe Jesus knew there would come a day. Of course he knew. He's God. He would know. There'd come a day when they would be calling religious leaders in the world's biggest religion, Roman Catholicism, fathers. Right? The priests are called fathers. Jesus knew that was coming to pass. So he's saying, don't call men fathers. And I think that is the context in a religious setting. Otherwise, everywhere else in the Bible where people are calling their earthly father, father, they would be in sin, and I just don't see how that would be possible. So, that's the main point that Jesus is making there. Banning or calling men rabbi is, why would he do that? Why would he ban the idea of calling men rabbi? Well, it's to remove their hold on you, so you can be free to serve God and lift God up and have the proper order and not be overtaken, authority usurped by corrupt men. Kind of like men walking around saying, Pastor, Doctor, Reverend. This takes away from God. This takes away from the body. And it's not God's ordained way. So we need to reject that and walk according to the model in the scriptures that Jesus and the disciples gave us. Verse 10. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. So Jesus is clearly making a case here, no rabbi, no father, no master. What's he doing? He's pointing that our allegiance needs to be all in for him. No one else. Right? No one else. No one between us and God. Christ is our intercessor. Can't have two masters. What will happen? We'll love one, we'll hate the other, right? Matthew 6:24 tells us that. So we see the pattern being set here for how we're supposed to operate with our faith, with God, Christ, man. People have that all messed up, and pastors and leaders are lifted up. They're puffed up. Those leaders are taking pride and preeminence. They're taking authority over people when they are not to. We'll get to that here in a minute. Verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Wow, what a line. Yeah, again, Jesus modeled that perfectly. The antithesis of the Pharisees. They were looking for the best seats and being called rabbi and lifted up and puffed up. And they were just mere men. Here is Jesus, God in the flesh, the Word made flesh, lowering himself to be a humble servant, washing feet, having children sit on his lap, reaching out to the people that no one else would reach out to, sitting with sinners and calling them to repentance. Yeah. He that is greatest among you, he shall be your servant. We said this before, that word minister means servant, and servant means minister. It's a lowly job. It's not a lifted up one. It's not a profession. Have you noticed that? Ministers have been lifting up and they've made a profession out of it. It's a career. Many men are making great livings doing this. This is never what it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be a minister is a servant. I was telling a brother the other day, a young brother. He doesn't know this. He's so young. I said, you know, there was a time when doctors were like servants. And they literally would come to your house and do house calls. He said, what? I said, yeah. Doctors were servants. They would come to your house and doctors would trade their services for a chicken, for some produce. Doctors were looked at as servants. And then when all these colleges came up and the medical field turned into the drug pharmaceuticals, now all of a sudden they lifted these men way up and now they're making millions of dollars and they got power and you got to come to see them and they control everything. They used to be lowly servants. That's like the modern pastor role. Men in the Bible were pastors, but just among the people looking after the sheep, they didn't lift themselves up. Now what do we see today? Pastors lifted up, position, parking lots, books, authority, fame. All of this is out of God's ordained ways. The message all over the Bible is consistent. Be a lowly servant. Matthew 20, 26 through 27. Jesus said, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Remember, everything's flipped around. We'll talk about this a little bit more. In heaven and earth, things are going to be flipped around. Jesus is saying, you want to be great, be a servant. And we'll touch on that right after this verse. Verse 12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Yeah, so God is going to have things upside down in heaven to earth. The men that are great on earth will be lowly if they make it to heaven. Those servants that are lowly on earth will be lifted up and given position and authority in heaven to be judges and do his bidding. It's the foolishness that God uses. No one would imagine that. No one would expect that, that God's going to use the lowly things, that God would have the greatest be the servants. But Jesus was our model and example for that, wasn't he? He was. God stepped down into mankind, into our world, to be a servant. He calls us to do the same unto him, unto each other, and unto the world as well. Again, it's the foolishness. God uses the foolish things and confounds the wise. And no one would think that you lower yourself to be great. Well, just follow the example of Jesus, and everything makes perfect sense. Matthew 19:30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Yeah, that says it all. That's how it's going to be in heaven. First will be last, the last will be first. Go read Matthew chapter 5. Read the whole Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. That'll make things very, very clear for you. The heart, the mindset, the life, the style, how we're supposed to live versus what modern churchianity and what the worldly secular culture says. Strive, be great, take what you want, lift yourself up, be leader, puff yourself way up. No, God says, humble yourself, lower yourself, be meek, seek God, seek the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added unto you. Go read Matthew 5. That will bless you. Goes right along with this whole mindset. And we're going to stop right there for today. We'll pick it up next time. keep going in Matthew 23. Hope you're enjoying this. I love God's word. I love to preach God's word. Got to meet an older man, 75 years old, in a park today as we were traveling. Perfect timing. He soaked up the gospel. Him and I hit it off. It was pretty awesome. It's another example of why we sold everything we own to go live out in the world, preach Christ crucified, lift up the gospel, make disciples. Yeah, we got to point out false teaching as we go. I hope this is blessing you. Shoot me an email. Let me know I can help you in the faith. We love you all. I got to get down the gospel road. I got to go get some sleep. And then we got lots of work to do this weekend. I think our preach is going to be rained out. It's going to be a rainy weekend. But we got lots of ministry and discipleship and Bible study to do online. Let us know if you want to be part of that. Hey, till next time, go out, have a glorious day. Repent and obey the gospel. We love you all. May God be praised.